Welcome to DNB College. Today we're building an old-school DNB Ride Groove blueprint in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it with minimal CPU load, maximum movement, and proper club function. The whole idea here is simple. We're not trying to make a huge shiny cymbal layer. We're building a ride-led rhythmic engine that supports the break, adds urgency, and keeps the groove alive without eating your processor budget. This is the kind of thing that sits beautifully in a roller, a jungle-leaning cut, or a darker halftime to 174 hybrid. It lives right in the middle of the track, and helps the section feel like it's moving forward. And that's the key point. In old-school flavor DNB, the ride is not just a cymbal on top. It's a timekeeper, a little bit of attitude, and a way to make the break feel more driven without turning the top end into a hat frenzy. If you do it right, the groove feels tighter, the snare feels more locked in, and the bass gets to dominate the low end without everything feeling static. So let's start where the groove actually makes sense, with the break itself. Load a short break or chop that already has some snare identity. Think MN adjacent energy, or any break with solid ghost notes and a clear backbeat. Loop it for one or two bars, and trim it so it lands right on the grid. If there's too much room tone or cymbal smear, clean that up first with clip gain or a quick fade. You want the break talking before the ride even enters. What to listen for here is very simple. Does the break already have a strong sense of 2 and 4, or is it flat and needing help? If the snare has body but not much sparkle, the ride can carry some of that air. If the break is already bright, you'll need to treat the ride more carefully later, so the top end doesn't get harsh. Now build the ride as a separate, minimal CPU layer. The cleanest route is one ride sample in Simpler, or a single pad in Drum Rack. Keep it lean. One sample is usually enough. Put it into one-shot behavior so you're not fighting weird re-triggers, and start with a ride that already has a stable body. You want something that can take editing and a bit of saturation without falling apart. At the start, keep it simple. Leave the pitch alone. Only high pass if the sample has low mid spill, maybe somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz. Only use warp if the timing really needs it. Why this works in DNB is because the ride groove is really about forward motion, not about huge transient complexity. One disciplined sample gives you a clean foundation, and then the movement comes from the notes, the velocity, and the processing. Now program the pattern around the break, not on top of it. That's a big one. Don't just drop the ride on every offbeat and call it done. Build it like a counterline. Start with a one-bar pattern that supports the snare's spaces, then extend it into two bars so it feels like a phrase, not a loop pasted over the drums. A strong starting idea is hits on the end of one and two, then a lighter hit before or after the three depending on what the break is already doing, maybe an occasional skip before the four, and then one stronger hit leading into the next bar so the phrase has direction. Use velocity like a musician, not like a machine. Put stronger accents around the 90 to 110 range, supporting hits around 55 to 80, and little lift or ghost hits down around 25 to 45. That variation is what gives the ride its life. If every hit is the same, the groove turns into a metronome, and that can kill the human feel of the break. What to listen for? If the ride starts making the snare feel smaller, it's probably occupying the snare's attack zone too much. If the groove feels like it has no push, then the pattern is too safe. A tiny timing shift or a smarter accent pattern usually fixes that faster than just turning the sample up. Speaking of timing, use groove with restraint. If the break has swing, borrow some of that feel lightly instead of forcing everything to hard quantize. You can apply subtle groove timing to the ride clip, or manually nudge a few hits. A slightly early accent can create urgency. A slightly late ghost hit can create looseness. In old-school DNB, that push-pull is what makes the ride feel alive. You want the main accents to stay clear, but the supporting hits can breathe a little. If the ride is rushing the snare, it's too aggressive. If it feels lazy, move selected hits forward a touch rather than increasing the level. That small timing move often does more than any EQ ever could. Now let's shape the sound with a very lean stock device chain. Keep the chain short and intentional. A great low CPU starting point is auto filter, saturator, and EQ8. Or if the sample is already sharp, try EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. That's usually enough. High pass around 200 to 400 Hz if there's unnecessary low mid spill. Add only modest saturation, just enough to thicken the body and make it audible at a lower fader position. Then use EQ to tame the harshest area, usually somewhere around 3 to 6 kHz if it bites too hard, or a broad shelf above 9 to 12 kHz if it's too fizzy. Why this works in DNB is because you're trying to make the ride feel louder without actually pushing it louder. Saturation adds density, and EQ removes the brittle top that competes with snare air and bass harmonics. That gives you presence without a big CPU-heavy stack of processors. And here's a useful creative decision point. Decide whether you want a clean support ride or a dirty character ride. A clean support ride means a tighter sample, subtle saturation, gentle filtering, and a fairly neutral tone. That's great for rollers, more technical jungle hybrids, or tracks where the bass is already carrying most of the character. A dirty character ride is a bit rougher. Maybe you resample it through saturation or drum bus. Maybe you let the mid-range grit come forward. Maybe you shorten the tail. That's ideal for darker underground tunes where the drums need more attitude and the top end can afford to be a little torn up. The trade-off is important. Clean versions leave space and make mixing easier. Dirty versions give you more identity, but they can crowd the snare or expose harshness if the bass is already active in the upper mids. So choose based on the track, not just on taste in isolation. Now, once the pattern and processing are working, commit it to audio. This is where the minimal CPU idea really becomes practical. Print the ride to a new audio track or bounce it down, then disable the live instrument chain if you no longer need it. That frees up CPU, makes the waveform easier to edit, and turns the part into something you can treat like a real performance. And honestly, this is a big workflow win in Ableton Live 12. Once it's audio, you can trim tails, cut micro gaps, and shape the phrase with much more precision. Don't get trapped endlessly tweaking the source. If the groove works against the drums and bass, commit it and move on. That's how you keep momentum in production. Now edit the audio like it's a written phrase, not just a loop. Take the resampled ride and make bar 2 different from bar 1. Maybe bar 1 is your main offbeat pulse, and bar 2 removes one hit before the snare, then adds a lighter pickup into the next bar. Maybe every fourth bar, the ride drops out for half a bar so the section can breathe. That little bit of variation matters a lot. Old school DNB gets its hypnosis from repetition plus tiny changes, not from constant full spectrum motion. If the ride repeats so predictably that you stop noticing it, it's too static. If it pulls attention away from the snare every bar, it's too busy. What to listen for? Does the ride feel like a phrase, or does it just feel like a copied bar? If bar 2 doesn't move differently from bar 1, you probably need to edit the density, the timing, or the tail length. Now check it in context with the bass and the drum bus. This is where the real judgment happens. Turn the bass up to full track level and listen to whether the ride still feels musical. If your bass has a moving res or upper mid harmonic layer, make sure the ride isn't sitting in exactly the same glare zone. Sometimes a small dip around 2.5 to 5 kHz on the ride opens enough room for the bass articulation to come through. Keep an eye on mono too. A ride can seem wide and exciting in stereo, but if it disappears or gets facey in mono, that's a problem in club playback. What to listen for here? If the kick loses impact when the ride enters, the ride is too loud or too sharp. If the snare stops feeling like the anchor, the ride is stealing the transient lane. The ride should sit above the kit, not fight the kit. A good bonus move is to add just one controlled automation change across an 8 or 16 bar phrase. Maybe the ride gets a little louder into the drop. Maybe the filter opens slightly. Maybe the saturation comes up just a touch in the second drop. Maybe there's a half bar dropout before a switch up. One strong move is enough. That's an important production habit. In old school DNB, energy comes from phrasing and contrast, not from constantly opening every knob. A subtle rise into the next section can make the groove feel like it's answering the bass line instead of just looping endlessly. And if you want a darker, heavier result, lean into tension rather than polish. Use the ride as a tension device. Keep the top end a little darker, let the decay be a bit rough, and don't be afraid to let the cymbal feel slightly damaged. For heavier rollers, sometimes it even helps to keep the ride a touch behind the beat while the snare stays dead center. That tiny drag adds weight. It makes the section feel like it's pulling forward rather than sprinting. Now, a couple of practical shortcuts that are really useful in Ableton Live 12. Once you have a ride phrase that works, duplicate it and create a few versions, one slightly more open, one slightly shorter, and one with a small dropout before the downbeat. Those three versions usually cover most arrangement needs. Also, save a clean print, an aggressive print, and a sparse print if you can. That tiny library will save you time later. This kind of ride edit is much more useful when it becomes a section marker instead of a permanent layer. Use the sparse version in the intro, bring in the fuller version for the main drop, and then use a dirtier or more broken version for the second drop. That gives the listener orientation. It says the track is evolving without needing a whole new drum kit every 8 bars. So let's quickly run through the traps to avoid. Don't make the ride too loud. If it dominates, the groove feels thin instead of driven. Don't use a long fizzy cymbal tail if it smears the brake. Don't quantize every hit perfectly or you'll lose the human push-pull. Don't build a huge chain of devices when a short chain and an audio print will do the job. And definitely don't ignore mono. A ride that only works in stereo is not done yet. Here's the mindset to keep in the back of your head. Brightness is easy. Motion is the actual job. If you mute the ride and the loop only loses sheen, then it's not really doing enough. If you mute it and suddenly the section feels less urgent, then you've built something useful. Now for the practice move.